The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hand off to Gore, up the middle, lunging for the goal line, and the line judge says he has it. Touchdown, Buffalo. Here's the snap on first and 10. Back to pass. Swarmed under, and he's going to go down. Hello, Deion Walker, who had the sack. Got a helper there from A.J. Epinesa. Bouchel back to pass, going fade ball to Shavers, who pulled it in with one hand.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sounded like a fun game. Preseason game number 3, a win. I had it up on my phone at the drive-in. Went to the drive-in movies for the first time this summer. So I had it up on my phone. Did see the Shavers catch.
Sweet catch.
Bills beat the Bucks, and now we got one more thing of business to do before we get to the regular season. Got to get that 53-man roster. That's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, Jeremy White off today. He'll be back in tomorrow. Good morning. Everybody have a good weekend. It's a nice fall crisp in the air in the morning still.
Yep.
Which is good.
I won another scramble yesterday. It's not a big deal.
Come on. No, you did not.
I swear to God.
You won another scramble?
I won another scramble yesterday.
Where? At your club?
No. No, it was at 18 Mile Creek, Hamburg.
Okay.
Got invited by a couple of my friends from high school. They were like, we want to win this tournament, so we need you to come play.
Wow. Get the championship DNA on the team.
Pretty much. Yeah, so we went 13 under, and we won.
Good for you. Josh saw Everton finally win a game.
Oh,
I said finally. It was the second game of the season.
Their first two goals in the new stadium, first win in the new stadium, and Tommy Fleetwood gets a win. Coincidence?
Wow.
I think not.
Because he's an Everton fan?
He is. Big time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know. You're saying that inspired him to win his first PGA tournament ever?
The people are saying.
I have a quick golf thing on that. We'll get to the Bills. A lot to get to on the Bills. I want to ask about the Ravens game also, because I've had a couple people recently say the exact same thing to me about the Bills-Ravens game.
Okay.
The FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
Playoffs. Tommy
Didn't
Fleetwood
really feel like playoffs.
He won the tour championship.
Yes.
I recognize that, and I know they did away with the, hey, if you are number one in points in the FedEx Cup playoff, you start the tour championship 7 under.
Yeah.
And if you are, you know, in 20th place, you start 3 over, so on and so forth. But that got, you know, they got rid of that.
Yep.
And they go into this tournament, and everybody's just playing clean right from the start. So he wins the whole thing over Scheffler?
It looks like that, yeah.
Even though Scheffler had more points, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah,
I thought Scheffler had more points.
It's confusing. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Scotty won the season long, and Tommy Fleetwood won the tour championship.
I believe Scheffler was asked about this sort of exact situation before the tournament.
Yeah.
He was asked by a reporter, like, do you think this is right that somebody can come win this tournament after not really doing anything all year? And the reporter actually said, like, we could have Patrick Cantlay win the championship. Does that feel right to you? And Scheffler's like, whoa, we're saying names now? And like,
yeah,
but that was the basis of the question.
That's the name I would have said.
Right. So. I mean,
Patrick Cantlay.
He was kind of asked about it and had to give a diplomatic answer, but I think he was like, I kind of think that's lame.
Yeah.
I dominated this year.
I'll say this.
He won 3 tournaments during this, what they would call the FedEx Cup playoffs, which I don't think golf has figured it out at all.
No.
And I don't think their previous incarnations of it really figured it out either. I actually liked what you mentioned to Brian last week about like a match play bracket.
It almost has to be that.
That's the only way you could do it.
Because
this is, hey, we have this point system, and hey,
but
Scheffler,
that goes out the window the second the last tournament here comes.
Right. Yeah, Scotty Scheffler, imagine you're in a golf tournament it's a month long, and what with 1 week to go, you are 1,000 points ahead, no matter what the thing is. You got 1,000 more points than anybody else. And hey, going into the championship, everybody gets wiped clean.
everybody goes to zero, yeah, and we're just playing the top 30 or in the tournament, and that's
weird. It's weird. And the thing I'll say about this, too, is I think LIV has probably has a better setup, even though, like...
Oh, it's theirs. I'm not even familiar.
Okay, so theirs was the final week, the final tournament of the season.
Mm-hmm.
John Rahm loses in a playoff, but wins the season-long championship, and some other guy wins the LIV whatever event it was. Mm-hmm. So... at least at that moment, there was still the celebration for the guy that won the tournament. But the main celebration was, John Rahm, you just won the season-long race, even though he had not won a single LIV event.
Gotcha. I think that's probably why they did what they did.
But
he accumulated
the most points over the course of the year.
Yeah. But that's why they didn't do this, right? They didn't want Scheffler to win the FedEx Cup and have Fleetwood win the Tour Championship and have... I think it would be more about the shine off of Scheffler's win. Because nobody would care about it, but I don't think anybody would care about the FedEx Cup. If, hey, Tommy Fleetwood just won the Tour Championship, his first ever win.
Yeah, it's got to be.
What are people going to care more about at the end there? So
you get seeded based on your FedEx Cup points.
Gotcha.
And then over, 4 days or 2 weeks, maybe a guy gets... maybe the top two seeds don't play in the first weekend, and it's the second weekend that they.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'll tell you,
I like that. I mean, we're definitely throwing everything. I mean, I could still do the tour championship as a standalone tournament.
Yeah,
and figure out a way to do this also. But yeah, I think a playoff in golf, just do that. Do a bracket. Match play.
It kind of seems like they just have to do that. Yeah, because I mean, if we're sitting here, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a casual golf fan. I watch golf every week,
mm-hmm.
and I don't understand it.
The FedEx Cup.
No.
Our buddy Jeff Metis from TD Green just texted in, and from Golf Dojo, Scotty gets extra cash for winning year-long. Okay. Based on points at the end, big money. So, okay, so he gets that at least.
Yeah, but there's really no recognition.
He doesn't get the trophy, but I mean, can you tell me the prestige of the FedEx Cup? I know they would like it to be prestigious, but can you name me a single winner from before this year? Like, knowing the year? Like, I'm sure we could name guys who won. I remember Tiger winning I remember Tiger winning it the first year they did it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember ever thinking about it after that.
I remember
until yesterday.
Rory hitting a pretty crazy shot a couple of years ago on 18 to win over Tiger. Was it 2019? No, 2018 maybe?
I have no recollection of that.
I think Victor Hovland won it 2 years ago, 3 years
Tiger
ago.
Tiger won the first one in 07. He won it again in 2009. That's the year you were just referencing.
No, I think it was late in Tiger's career where Tiger was in it.
Hmm.
At East Lake, but I think lost to Rory.
2012. Rory won in 2016.
Okay.
Rory won in 2019.
That's
Rory
the year.
Rory won in 2022.
2019 was 2019. The year that he beat Tiger.
I think that's the year. Tiger won the Tour Championship going into his Masters win. So maybe I'm a year off on that one. But match play. Do it. Match play. And now we get the Ryder Cup in a month.
We do have the Ryder Cup.
Which... if we care at all about this, Keegan Bradley, did you see his dilemma is he's got to decide whether he wants himself on the team.
Yeah.
He's the captain. He's been playing really well. What did he finish? Fifth yesterday? He was in the top 10.
He was scaring it on Sunday. I was paying attention. I kept kind of loading the leaderboard as we were playing golf just to kind of see where things were. And Keegan, for a minute there, mm-hmm. I think got to 15 or 16 under, and I was like, man, if Keegan wins... he has to. I mean, he has to put himself in. I think I still think he's got to put himself in over Colin Morikawa. I mean, Morikawa hasn't played well this year.
Yeah,
he's up there, and so I mean, they have to pick some guys that are just the names for political reasons. But like, I have zero interest in seeing Patrick Cantlay play. I don't need to see Patrick Cantlay on that team.
I think there is not a golfer I enjoy watching less than he's so slow.
There's nothing
slow
about him that
sometimes
I enjoy.
Sometimes you think he's kidding with how slow he is. It looked like at one point yesterday, because they got the final group yesterday in the Tour Championship was Fleetwood and Cantlay. And at one point, they got a warning from the rules official about pace of play. And after that warning was given, it looked like Fleetwood was kind of,
not happy about getting the warning, or maybe he wasn't happy at Cantlay.
I would think that,
because
yeah.
he seemed to be playing perfectly fine pace, like
yeah.
two practice swings, walk up and hit it on a lot of them. And he's kind of like was throwing his arms up in the air like a little bit from behind. Couldn't tell what he was saying, but I wanted to imagine he was saying, "This is your fault,
right?
It's your fault, buddy. I'm not doing this. This is your problem." So, anyways, Fleetwood wins Tour Championship, his first win ever. Didn't need him getting some confidence going into the Ryder Cup, but
you know
that's fine.
That's
but we all like him.
After my scramble yesterday, we were all watching it at the bar, and my whole thought was, I really want Tommy Fleetwood to win. He feels like golf's good guy. Like they're showing it on yeah. ESPN right now, and they're just showing tweets from LeBron, Caitlin Clark, like today's the day. Like, oh man, you know, like it felt like his. When
yeah.
the monkey off of Tommy Fleetwood's back sort of felt like the collective golf fans monkey
yeah.
off the, you know, because he is yeah. a very, very likable player. It's not just by fans, but by
yeah.
his peers. Who, like a very likable player.
Who gets that next in sports? Who's the next that when he's winning, it's everybody knows, like, this is, like, this person's coronation. Like, he's been...
Josh Allen, probably.
Right. Like, that is the, I think, the obvious two. You know, the guy that he wins it, and you got LeBron tweeting about it, and you mentioned Caitlin Clark was tweeting about it, and whoever. Lionel Messi is tweeting about it, and, like, everybody from the world of sports that's unconnected to this person is going to be coming out of the woodwork to be like, congratulations to this guy, because that's how big it is. That was Fleetwood. It's not even a major yesterday. It's just he had never won on the PGA
right.
at all. And you're right. Allen is going to get that if he wins immediately. Him and Lamar, right? Like him and Lamar are both going to get that level of treatment.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I would say here's the difference between Lamar and Josh is – Lamar hasn't had that many heartbreaking moments
yeah.
where he is...
What, like Fleetwood had those.
Like Fleetwood's had heartbreaking, like he played great for 71 yeah. holes.
I think he had three two-shot leads
yeah.
in the last month and a half.
And it hasn't gone his way. And yeah. I'm thinking about...
Byron
Sunday. Nelson or like one of those...
Yeah.
And he loses to Keegan Bradley. And Keegan hits just two unbelievable shots. The approach and then the putt and like on something like that to me, it would be more reminiscent of what Josh has been through than Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar's lost in one AFC championship game.
Right. Right.
That's it.
Yep.
And every other one, he hasn't even really gotten there. And the games that he has played, he hasn't played well in. So
mm-hmm.
That's why to me, I feel like the next sports person to get over the hump, that you would feel the same way you do about like a Tommy Fleetwood, I think would be Josh Allen.
Who's after that? Or would it be a team? Like, this is not going to be for North American sports, but like, I imagine if Tottenham ever wins something, like, it'll be...
Are they lovable? Like
nah, maybe not, but it'll be the same level of, oh, they finally did it.
Who's the lovable losers, though? Like, who's the lovable losers?
The Lions.
The Lions.
The Lions will get that as a team.
Yes.
Right? Dan Campbell, if they were to win it, I think they would get that.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, how many individuals are left? Like, we've checked a couple off this year, and they've both been in golf, right? Rory
yeah.
winning the Masters,
right.
and then Fleetwood winning a tournament. Like, a lot of the other ones, the Cubs finally won the World Series, the Red Sox won the World Series, and that's way back. So baseball doesn't really have that
story baseball,
left.
No.
That I know of.
Basketball.
The city of Cleveland finally winning a championship. Like, that ended that one.
Yeah. What about the Knicks?
Are the Knicks...
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To your question about Tottenham... About are they lovable?
Yeah.
I'll ask the same question about the Knicks. Are they lovable?
Well, I mean, I love them.
I think this is the most likable they could be. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Jalen Brunson does that. Yeah, okay, hold on a second.
Yeah, but like they're not. They
in
haven't
the
knocked
world,
on any door.
No, they haven't. They have not.
They've been
no...
knocking on the doggy door. But it hasn't been the full size door.
Yeah, no, that's not. No, that would be like if, hey guys, let me pick a guy here. Again, I want a guy that's like really low on the rankings here. Hey guys, Matt McCarthy finally won a PGA event. Let's go! All that heartbreak. He came so close that one time. I don't know. Like in the world of hockey, you would get that treatment, right? Like, good for them. A golf clap, good for them. Absolutely. I think if the Sabres were to make the playoffs. Ned in Amherst has got an idea for this. What's up, Ned? Ned, you there?
First to come to mind. Got me?
Yeah, go ahead. You're there.
Josh Allen was the first to come to mind, but second was Connor McDavid just finally getting over the finish line. Thinking about Caitlin Clark and LeBron coming out and kind of coronating him as the next great. And then quickly, I think someone the other day was saying Cole Bishop just do something during one of these games to kind of shut us up about you. Mm-hmm. It might have been Nate. And I think finally we got that where it's like, okay, you made your splash play. Now we maybe still have to worry a little bit, but I feel a little bit better about that safety position next to Taylor Rapp after Saturday.
Yeah. Thanks, Ned. We're going to get to that.
And it wasn't even a splash play. It was just a play. It was just not even technically on the score sheet as a tackle or a pass breakup.
Mm-hmm.
But you were like, okay, fine. You're like, oh, thank God. He did something.
Yeah. He had another play. The one that I think he's referencing is when he flies up on third and 10
and hits the receiver,
drills the guy in the back.
Terrible throw. But
Carl Jones tweeted out a video of him making a run stop where he kind of came into the box as like he's playing next to the linebackers and he dives inside of like Epinesa and makes the run stop at the line of scrimmage like he's Matt Milano. So there was a nice play there too for him. We'll see. I mean, it's still the Bucks backups and he's playing around backups, so you know, but better to see that than I think what you saw the week before. Yeah, when we had a similar conversation about like who needs to win it next, which is a little different than I think what we're doing here. This is more like who do you feel good for winning it next? McDavid, I think, is on that list for sure. It might be dependent though on how he does it. Because if he does it in Edmonton, I think he absolutely will get that.
Agreed.
If he leaves and goes and wins in like Tampa, then I think the feeling might be a little bit different. Maybe if he goes and does it like somewhere else. Which, by the way, I'm thinking about. He still hasn't signed a contract. He's been eligible for 2 months. So anyways, Tommy Fleetwood, he wins the tournament, the Tour Championship yesterday. First PGA win, and next up for golf is the Ryder Cup in a little over a month. So Ned mentions Cole Bishop there, preseason game number 3 in the books. Now we roll off to the 53-man roster. And really, isn't Bishop the only thing you could really take away from that game? Maybe two things. Two things that are meaningful for the season. Because everything else, I think, is just about, hey, who makes the 53-man roster? That everything else is in relation to who makes the team. The two things that happened in that game, two plays that happened in that game that are separate from that, because they're guys that are going to make the team. One is those Bishop plays.
Yep.
Bishop looking strong. And the other is, man, I hope Dion Walker can translate to the NFL because there is some talent there.
There is some
Holy
stuff
cow.
There. It was a fantastic performance. I think he ended up with 4 tackles, half a sack in a TFL. And, like, it was obviously some of the – you could look at the score sheet in the box score and looked at him and say, okay – he had a very nice game. But if you watched early in that game, him absolutely dominate the line of scrimmage, we've all been looking for a large human in the middle of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that from our buddy Greg Thompson, who got a number 96 large human jersey.
like it says large human
on
the back?
Yes, on the back, yeah. And I think like what we've needed is a dominating force that's large in the middle, one tech that can run, defend, but gives you some pass rush ability.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pass rusher that they're going to try to develop into a guy that can be a sturdy run defender. I feel like that's really hard to come by somebody his size. He is a good pass rusher in the middle.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. And, you know, I know TJ Sanders didn't maybe make some of the splash plays that you saw Dion Walker make on Saturday night, but He also, I thought, had a good preseason. I am very interested. You know, you mentioned, like, you know, Walker and then Cole Bishop.
Yeah.
I also left Saturday's game thinking, like, Shane Bichelle should probably be their practice squad quarterback.
Aren't they going to find a way to keep all four?
Isn't Trubisky
going to be in the active roster? Won't they get White and Bichelle to the practice squad?
I don't think
that's what they did last year.
Did they have two guys?
They had both all year on the practice squad.
Did they?
I'll check. Mike White was here, right?
Mike White was here. Shane Bichelle was on the IR last year.
That could be the difference.
Okay. He was not on practice squad last year. I think he beat out Mike White yesterday.
Maybe. That could be right. Yeah. I'm not. If Mike White's not going to be the backup, I'm not really worried about whether he's on the practice squad or not, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Because I think you get down to your third-string quarterback. Your third-string quarterback is Josh's assistant in some ways.
Yes.
Right? Because if you ever got to get down to... Hey, we've got to play our third. You're signing Tannehill, or you're signing somebody off the street to play a couple games. I think before you're trusting that guy for the long term. So, but he did have a nice game. Frank Gore Jr. I think had another nice game.
Yep.
But as I always caution people, running backs almost always look good. Running backs, isn't the preseason the greatest defense for running backs are as replaceable as any position in the sport, and that's why they don't get paid. The guy that Travion Young, the name of the running back the Bills signed on like Thursday, and then he played against the Bucks, and then they cut him already.
Yeah, and then they had
he got the ball in his first snap, and he's like, this guy made a guy miss, and he looked good. But that's running backs. Sign a guy off the street, not even for your team, for the preseason.
Right.
And like, oh, that guy's got some juice.
Just so that Frank Gore doesn't have to tote the rock every single play.
Right, right. Just there are. Not to take all credit away from all running backs, but there are 9,000 running backs.
Yeah, there are
in the world that I feel like can
there
do
are
things.
Very few like truly elite ones, but then like the group that is just like present, it's probably the one position that's I don't mean
just
to say
give
it this
them
way,
the rock.
Not easy to play, but it just is like
I think you could say it.
Yeah,
in comparison, comparison to the other positions, easier to play. I think, like, if we were going to have a debate about what the hardest position to play is, I don't think we would mention it. I don't think we would bring it up.
Yeah, that's right.
803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get to Tyrell Shavers and his catch that made the rounds, which might have made it even harder to get him to the practice squad, so they might have an even tougher decision. Because nobody missed him now. Like,
no.
that touchdown went, you know, as viral as a preseason play
touchdown
can go. It did do that on Saturday.
And I'm wondering, you know, are we now on Dwayne Carter watch?
Maybe. Their third-round pick from last year, that could be a bubble guy. We'll see. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock for the 53-man roster, we'll ask Sal his thoughts on where that stands and how a reported reunion with Jordan Phillips again, I believe this will be his fourth stint with the Bills. That was reported by Tom Pelissero last night, how that affects the roster and Dwayne Carter and the numbers there. The suspended guys play into that as well. So there's a lot to figure out about what the Bills roster will look like. We have a little bit more on the Tre'Davious White injury. So I want to talk about their defense now as a whole, what they look like at corner. And now that the preseason's over, I mean, not as much just in relation to what the roster will look like at the end, but what it does to their chances against Baltimore in week one. We could start putting injuries into perspective of what does this do to your confidence in week one?
Also, Dane Jackson playing into the fourth quarter.
That's another part of the equation on corner. I would have thought he's the next man up,
same.
But he's also out there right in the fourth preseason
game. Which I don't think
you're doing
if he's your next man up.
Maybe. So we'll get into that as well. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary is in today. Jeremy White is off today. Some college football over the weekend as well. A lot to get to here on a beautiful Monday morning here on WGR.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.